Well, thanks again for listening to the Park Hills Podcast. If you want more information on things we're doing, go to parkhillschurch.com or the Park Hills Church app. Oh, the church.
Yes, the church.
A nice small topic to talk about on a, what day is it, Wednesday afternoon?
Yep.
Yay. So, where are we going to take this one, Alex? Take it away.
All right, yeah. Let's talk about the church. We've been talking about, well, the church and Christian living. What does it mean to be the church? What does it mean to do what Christ asks us to do? So, I think one thing that we're starting to lose a little bit in the way we talk. Maybe not. Maybe it depends on where you're at. Is that, you know, Christ calls us to following him, calls us to loving him. But part of that, too, is also obedience. Mm-hmm. Christ calls us to obedience. And sometimes we forget that, or sometimes we forget to emphasize that in our preaching and teaching. And I think the reason why is because, you know, obeying God, living righteously, is like running down a narrow road. Jesus even says that. It's like a narrow road.
Yeah.
But there's two ditches on either side. One of the ditches on one side is this idea of legalism.
Right.
And so legalism, that's when we emphasize the rules as the means to the relationship.
Right.
Right. When the reason we obey is because it makes us better before God. And so it's an overemphasis on the rules. It's overemphasis on following rules and forgetting the relationship behind it. But, I don't know, depending on what tradition you grew up in, I grew up in the tradition that would fall, if it were to fall in a ditch, it would fall in that ditch more often than not.
The legalistic side?
Yeah, the legalistic side. Yeah.
Yep.
But there's another ditch on the other side. So getting back on the road, sometimes we swerve to the other ditch, and that's the idea of license. And the idea of license is that, you know, Jesus has paid for our sins. He gives us grace. We live in grace and freedom, and therefore, obedient. As long as we love Jesus and we're committed to him emotionally, mm-hmm. then our actions are, I don't think anyone with license would say our actions are unimportant, but they would maybe de-emphasize or say they're less important. So you ever see this? You ever see these ditches people in either one side or the other?
I think you'd be foolish to say that you've never seen it, right?
Even in your own life, I think. Yeah.
I think totally. There's days where I am way too hard on myself, and I don't know about you, but there's days where I look at myself in ministry and I go, I don't deserve to do this. I shouldn't be doing this at all. I don't deserve to be a pastor. I'm such a failure. You know, maybe I say something to my kids in a less than loving way, or maybe I don't respond to my wife the way that I should, and I don't treat her like Christ loves the church. And so then I'm like, I'm a failure. Look mm-hmm. at how messed up I am. So that totally happens. Then there's other days where I'm tempted to do something, and I in my head, I just think, well, I'm already forgiven. So what's the big deal?
Yeah.
I'm going to dwell on this thought for a little longer than I should, or I'm going to think this thing that I know I shouldn't, or I'm going to entertain this idea, or I'm going to say something I shouldn't or do something I shouldn't. To say that it doesn't exist, everyone that's listening to this, you deal with this on a personal level and you've dealt with this on a corporate level. I think that's just fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every church you've ever been a part of struggles with being here. And I think this is part of why Jesus does say that the road is narrow and it's hard to be on, because there's this sense that license is a terrible thing. We shouldn't want to just run around doing whatever we want to do. On the flip side, you know, holding everyone to a standard that they can't uphold is a terrible place to be. And so walking that straight and narrow way is a reminder to people that they constantly need grace, and they also need to obey what God is saying.
Yeah.
And those two things are simultaneous.
Yeah. And I think, you know, kind of historically, churches and church traditions have fallen into either one of these, and they, you know, like in my life, I feel like I fall into the legalism ditch. Sure. way more often.
Yeah.
You know, like there are times when it's like, not that things aren't a big deal, but it's like, oh, I'm so focused on following the rules that I'm forgetting about the reason we follow the rules, or in that my relationship with God in that then affects the way like I parent my children, you know, or even lead ministry. So, you know, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, it means to love him, but then to know where that line of obedience is.
Right.
That we obey because, you know, because we love him, not in order to love him or not taking advantage of his love.
Right. And we are totally forgiven in him. There's nothing we can do to earn more salvation or earn less grace. But at the same time, obeying him is freedom and it's peace. So it's the best way to live. So why would you not want to do that?
Right. Right. That's his calling. So
I think it's a healthier place to be. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the church too, because this topic we're covering, Christian living and the church from our statement of faith.
Right.
So when we talk about the church, I think we have to differentiate the big C church and the little C church. So Chris, what do we mean when we say the big C and the little C church?
I think the easiest way to describe this is little C church is Park Hills. Big C church is, you know, at a small level, the EFCA. So, but it's bigger than that. It's all believers across all time and all space. So, you know, I've met people in different faith traditions, meaning within the Christian faith tradition, who love Jesus with all that they have, and they would probably call themselves a Catholic, or they'd call themselves a Methodist, or they've called themselves a Lutheran or whatever. They're a part of the Big C Church just as much as we are.
Right.
And so there are times where we will partner with groups who don't necessarily hold to the exact same statement of faith that we do, but we're all a part of the Big C Church because we're all pursuing Jesus together.
Right.
At the same time, there's a danger in Big C Church, if we're going to call it the universal church, that some consider the Big C Church as anything that calls themselves a church.
Yeah.
So then we you'll hear things like, well, this is an ecumenical council. This is an ecumenical movement. And a lot of times when we really dig into the under the surface of what ecumenical means, it doesn't mean Big C in the way that the Bible means the Big C Church. Yeah. It just means places that call themselves church. And there can be danger there because they're not upholding the scriptures. They're not going back to the two ditches thing. They're choosing either license or fundamentalism way too strongly, and they've just wandered away from what the truth of the gospel is.
Or even like way outside the box, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints.
Correct.
I would not say anything about that theology is a part of the church, even though they call themselves the church.
And there are some that would put them in the Big C Church. Because they use that word, and yet it is not Christian,
right?
Just like there are certain denominations in the Christian faith that I would suggest at this point are no longer Christian,
right? Yeah, I'd give you that. The Latter-day Saints or the Mormons are an easy target because they're clearly not
right.
I don't know anyone who would put them, anyone on the inside who would put them with. But maybe on the outside, maybe if you're looking on the outside looking in, you say, "Hey, let's get the word C."
Yeah, if you're a politician or you're somebody else that you just want to make everybody happy, you'd be very quick to say, "Well, yeah, it's a church. It says church in their name." It's like, no, if you dig, they are not holding to Christ being Messiah,
right,
in the way that we are talking about Christ being Messiah. So
right, and so I think, you know, thinking through these two things is helpful for me as I look at, you know, sometimes I somewhat tongue in cheek, but not really use the term like we're on the same team. That there are, you know, I've taken students to on mission trips and partnered with churches that are not EFCA churches, and people are like, oh, you know, you're gonna go to that kind of church or this kind of church and do some of this ministry. I'm like, no, they're on the same team. Like,
right.
We're all on the same team here. That's the advantage of the Big C Church, is that you don't have to be in the same denomination. You don't have to have the same faith tradition or background, you know, you're still a part of the church, and we can still partner with you if you know the gospel and believe in our teaching the gospel.
Yes.
And it also helps me think of the little C church, that really the church is the only organization both described, so talked about in scripture, and prescribed or given to us as a command to be a part of. So that in the New Testament is often the local church.
Right.
And to me, that's part of the reason why, as I've began and run through a ministry career now, why I'm in local church ministry.
Right.
Like, they've got a lot of great, what we call parachurch ministry. So parachurch, para just means alongside, you know, paramedic, they're not medical per se, but they come alongside the medic and help them, you know. So a parachurch is not trying to be the church.
Right.
It's trying to come alongside, support, and fill in gaps or be in areas where the church maybe isn't reaching or isn't able to reach, or a parachurch can do it just in a slightly different way. So right. So things like, you know, Christian camps, organizations like, you know, Young Life, FCA, mm-hmm. all those. And we're partnered, you know, Trail Life.
Samaritan's Purse.
Yep, Samaritan's Purse, you know, Slavic Gospel Association we work with. Yep. Trail Life and American Heritage Girls.
Yeah.
You know, those are all great, great ministries. And I think as believers, we should be a part of and supportive of these parachurch ministries, because they do things in the way, like they can specialize in some things.
Yes.
You know, different pregnancy centers around the world, around the country, things like that. however, what I get a little concerned about, just a little concerned, is sometimes in an unhealthy way, people use these parachurch ministries as a replacement for their involvement in the little C church. Like, they're still part of the big C church because all believers everywhere.
Right.
But then, you know, I've interacted with some people who say, I'll give you an example here. When I worked at a summer camp all summer long, there were people who did not attend a church service because they're like, well, when I work at camp, I go to like mini services all week.
I'm at church every day.
Yeah, I'm at church every day. Yep. Like, there's chapels and you sing songs and you hear a message and then mm-hmm. you go and you work your campers through it and all that kind of stuff. They're like, I'm at church every day. Why do I need to go to church again 7 days a week? Can I take one day off? And I pushed back on that a little bit. Another instance was seminary. Like, I had people who didn't, when I was in seminary, either were minimally attended or didn't get involved, like 0% involved at their church.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, I'm in the class every day. My ministry is the classroom. My ministry is learning.
Right.
Or even campus. Like, I had a friend who was involved in some campus ministries at our seminary. And he's like, I feel like my ministry is here. And he meant like on the campus. And that kind of made me sad a little bit, because even though these parachurch ministries, like seminaries, are great, amazing things, mm-hmm. there's a healthy level of not forsaking the little C church just because you're part of the big C church.
You don't remember when Jesus prescribed and described the seminary?
No.
Oh, that's weird. So I'm totally with you here. And I think, just to be, you've said this really clear, but I'm just going to say it again, just so the people hear it, we are not anti-parachurch organization.
No.
And let me use the one that I'm involved in the most, FCA. You know, I've been leading the FCA huddle in Pecatonica for the middle school for a couple of years now, and then I helped start it, you know, 4 or 5 years ago with someone else. And, you know, I'm involved with the high school one as well. I like FCA. I really appreciate what FCA is doing. The goal of FCA is to step into the world of sport and find a way to draw the kids toward Christ mm-hmm. out of sport. The problem is, if all the kids ever go to is the FCA huddle, they are not getting the full effect of what the Christian faith really is supposed to
right.
be. So what a parachurch organization is supposed to do, like you said, is to be alongside the church. We're all for it. But if that parachurch organization doesn't draw people to be a part of the little C church, which is ultimately the big C church, we miss out on things. And so what a good parachurch organization would do is point kids to say, hey, you know, kids, adults, whoever they're serving, be a part of a local church as well. So we appreciate your service here. You need to be a part of the local church. The only place you're going to get, for example, intergenerational ministry is in the church, not necessarily in a parachurch organization,
right?
So most of my FCA ministry is dealing with middle schoolers or high schoolers, and the only people that they interact with all day long after the huddle's over is their age group.
Yeah.
If you don't ever go to a part of a, if you're never a part of a church, what you miss out on is the intergenerational aspect of ministry. You miss out on other people speaking into your life. You miss out on the fellowship. You miss out on the true worship that you're supposed to do together. You know, we can worship together, but it's not the same as if you do it with the body of Christ. So there is something about doing, it's more of a both and rather than an either or.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a good way to say it, because I mean, I think the biggest reason to be a part of the little C church is because Christ commands it, because that's what's in scripture. So that should be enough right there. But then in addition to that, like you're saying, things like the accountability that comes in the local church, the intergenerational. I think what's different about the church is there is not a single person who walks in the front door of a church and does not belong. But all these other parachurch ministries are centered around something, which is okay. That's their design. But like,
right.
You know, FCA is for athletes. And
yeah, you don't have to be an athlete to come. But to point out here, if a 30-year-old showed up to FCA, I'm not allowing them in because why are you in the middle school? This is creepy and weird.
Right.
Even though I was 30 when.
But that type of thing. Yeah. So it's geared toward athletes. Yeah. They wouldn't be exclusive to that. All these other things, they're usually geared towards something, you know, camp. Yeah. I went to camp growing up, summer camp. I worked at a summer camp, loved all of it, highly recommend it.
And a great thing to teach you ministry.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. One, it's both formative in my own spiritual life and then in my own like ministry career. Man, 90% of the games I used to play in youth group, actually life group too. They all came from camp. Like camp, right. We just learned all these silly little games and stuff like that. And right. Then we learned how to have conversation, all that kind of stuff, all really good stuff. But you know, our camp was for a certain group of people who could come at a certain age and who could afford it. And sure, we had scholarships and stuff like that, but mostly, you know, who could afford it. And who had that kind of time. Whereas the church, there's no one that we can say, you know what, you're not really a fit for this, or there's a reason that you shouldn't be here.
Right.
And I think that challenge, that's what's, you know, I say this sometimes, one of the things I love, but also is challenging about working in local churches is we have lots of different needs to meet. Whereas a parachurch can focus on minute needs. And sometimes, you know, like I said, you need that. The church focuses on all needs for all people across the board. And so all this to say, it's just an encouragement to say, be a part of parachurch ministries, support them, support people who work for them. I know a lot of people who work at parachurch ministries are support raised and they need that, and let's support them. But don't use that as an excuse to not be a part of a local church.
Right, right. No, I'm totally there with you. And I think we're both saying it because we've both been a part of local church and parachurch. Both are fantastic. Both work really well. And a lot of parachurch organizations start in the church. They just step outside of the church at one point because they're like, we want to go national with this, right? So an FCA group might have started, in this case, this isn't a great example because it didn't start this way, but a lot of these groups start within one church, American Heritage Girls, and it would be a good one.
Yeah.
You know, they start within a church and they go, man, we should really help people out with this. Let's create an organization, parachurch, that's outside of the church, but then can run alongside the church, utilizing the church's resources, the church's, you know, spaces, that kind of thing. But assisting the church in dealing with the problem of, for example, Boys and Girls Clubs, or Scouts, which is a bit of a problem. So I think there's a ton of benefit in it. We're all for them. Just be careful with what you're a part of and what you're not a part of.
Yeah.
So that's good. All right. Real quick, do we want to talk about what the church has done well and what it hasn't?
Yeah, let's just do this really quick.
Yeah.
You know, this is just a good reminder that the church has done a lot of cool things in the history of the group of believers. As simple as many hospitals are founded and created by churches, many orphanages. They're often on the front lines of crisis responding to things. You know, the Salvation Army was originally a gathering of believers to help the poor and needy. But the church also as an organization, a big picture organization, has also done a lot of really crummy things like the Crusades, for example. Right. There's been a lot of Christian leaders, church leaders who have abused power and who have built great empires and kingdoms only to see them fall under their own power, their own influence, things like that.
And some of those are doing that right now.
Yep, and some of those are doing that right now. You know, people have wielded Christianity as a weapon. People have used it as a reason to convince slaves that they should continue to be submissive slaves. You know, all that to say, we go on and on to think of great things the church has done and terrible things the church has done. It's just a good reminder too that we're not following people.
Right.
We're following Jesus. And where this has come up a lot that I've seen recently is just in the whole overflowing of the Olympic Games and what happened with the opening ceremony. And there's a lot of Christians speaking out about this, that this shouldn't be, and a lot of Christians then defending it and reminding people, you know, like I saw a lot on my feeds, people saying, you know, I wish Christians were more like Jesus and they would accept people, or, you know, Jesus always hung out with the tax collectors and sinners. Jesus always did this. And Christians today are just so bad, I'm losing my faith. Hmm. Like, I've seen that over and over again. Christians are so bad at loving others, I'm losing my faith. Christians are so bad at dialoguing with others, I'm losing my faith. And it's just a reminder that we don't follow Christians, we follow Christ.
Amen. Yeah, I'm totally with you, obviously, because that's really important. And even some of the things that have happened in the past across the board aren't always the representation of the actual Big C Church. Mm-hmm. That, I think that's another thing that we probably should say at the end of this here. There are things that are done sometimes that are named in the, that are claimed in the name of Christ that aren't actually Christian. And right. We need to be discerning and careful, not, you know, overly critical or legalistic, as we said in the beginning of the podcast, but just wary and discerning. You know, Jesus tells us to have discernment, right? To be as discerning as snakes, and, you know, as soft as lambs, basically, or as innocent as lambs. This idea that we should be people who understand forgiveness is a beautiful thing. I'm going to give it again and again and again. But at the same time, look at things and go, something's not right here, and then not take part in it. So whether that be, you know, cultural issues that we have, whether it be church things that happen, you know, I can apologize for the Crusades 1,000 times, but I had nothing to do with them, and I would have spoken out against them at the time if I was alive. At least I like to think that I would be. But that's part of the trouble with living in today's world, is there are so many bad examples of the church not doing the job that the church should have done, whether that be slavery, like you brought up. You know, many have pointed out that the church was more complicit with Nazism than they should have been, for example. Mm-hmm. And you got guys like Dietrich Bonhoeffer speaking out against it, who gave their life for it. Dietrich was obviously right, and in the end, you know, more should have followed his lead. I would like to think that we would be those types of people if it came. But I have to admit to you that there's times where I get a little nervous because people tell me to say less about this or more about that. And I want to be careful and discerning in that regard. And so, you know, the church has done a lot of things well. I think our church is doing a lot of things well. Is our church perfect? No. Will our church ever be perfect? Also, no. But will our church be able to make an impact in some of these things? Absolutely. Will our church be able to make an impact in all of these things? No. So we just got to be careful, wise, and discerning, and make sure that we're on the right side of things as they go along.
Yep.